Amen. Just so wonderful to hear the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. I can say it's a light unto my path. Yes. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Read verse 1 here. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. Then we'll drop down to verse 4 through 14. And then we'll conclude in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 22. The Bible says, and now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, and a great cloud, and a fire unfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof, came the likeness of four living. Somebody shout living.
Living.
Living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces. And every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion. And on the right side, and they had the face of an ox on the left side, they four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and to cover their bodies. And they went every one straight forward.
Amen.
Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. And the like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down Among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now Ezekiel 10:22, and the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river of Shebar. Their appearances and themselves, they went everyone, somebody shout everyone, straight forward. I want to preach here this morning just for a little while on this thought, the straightforwardness of divine progression. The straightforwardness of divine progression. Would you help me pray? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to hear the eternal Word of God. Lord, we have made much in this convention of the Word of God, because we understand it is the Word of God that will abide forever. There is an assault in the day and age in which we live upon the Word of God. But Lord, we stand firm on the Word. Have your way in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. We understand here this morning by the Word of God that sin and the devil has people held captive. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. 2 Timothy 2:26, and they, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. D.L. Moody once said, Satan rules all men that are in his kingdom. Some he rules through lust. Some he rules through covetousness. Some he rules through appetite. Some he rules by their temper. But he rules them. And none will ever seek to be delivered until they get their eyes open and see that they have been taken captive by the devil. You see, it is an eternal fact that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are captive to the dark forces of hell. Amen. Whether they realize that or not, some may think that just because they live in a free country, that they are free, unchained, independent, and possessors of liberty. But outside of Christ, there is absolutely no such thing. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:7 says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. The Lord Jesus alone can bring true liberty to the human heart. People may feel like they are free, but outside of the Lord Jesus, you are bound. Amen. You see, this liberty of the Lord supersedes the conditions a believer may find themselves in. Though John the Baptist, we know, was in prison. The Apostle Paul was in prison. And though, you know, John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos as external captives, they had a liberty and a freedom internally that far superseded the captivity that they were experiencing externally. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Though they were in cells, though they were in chains and on a criminally infested island, there was a liberty that this world knew not of. Hallelujah. And here today, if you are free in Christ, you are indeed free. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that the great English minister, John Bunyan, once said, while he was being held in a 3x3 cell, he said, wherever I am is heaven to me. Amen. Hallelujah. This gospel may land the whole bunch of us in a jail cell somewhere down the road, and I believe that it's coming. But one thing that I know is you may put these hands in shackles, but you cannot shackle my spirit. My spirit is free under God. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. I'll be free throughout all eternity as my spirit soars with God. Can you say amen? Amen. 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 This brings us to our text. Ezekiel 1:1 says, Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. Now in this verse, there are a few things that I would like to point out. The first is this, the believer's life should be a concentrated and a considered life. Secondly, external captivity and difficulty does not have to diminish heavenly openness. Listen to me now. We find in this verse that Ezekiel is very pointed with the date and time of this particular experience. He says in the 13th year, in the 4th month, and in the 5th day. The only thing that Ezekiel leaves out is the time of day. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
In other words, Ezekiel's life was governed by spiritual thought and eternal considerations. His life was a governed life, a considered life, and a concentrated life as it pertained to spiritual experience. Amen. And we understand that whatever a person loves, this reality is always applied. Amen. I firmly believe that those that are truly centered on Christ remember the moment they got saved, the day they got filled, the night the Lord spoke to them, and the service the Lord set them free from some type of hurt. Amen. Why? Because as Ezekiel, the spiritual life is of utmost importance even in the difficulties of life. You would, I would, it would be easy for all of us to sort of dismiss Ezekiel for not remembering these great details. Here he is. He's in a captive place by the river Shebar. Surely we would give him a pass of not living a governed and a considered life. But let me tell you something today. All times of the believer's life, you may say, preacher, I'm going through hell. I'm going through difficulty. I've got some type of external captivity that's going on in my life. I'm just going to coast through the experience and hope for the best. But you listen to me today, right in the midst of all of it, don't you lose your spiritual bearings. Don't you lose your way with God. But even today, may it be the testimony of your life. I know the day, I know the hour, I know the moment where God is speaking to my life. Don't you ever lose your bearings.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, we understand that Ezekiel did not allow external captivity to diminish this spiritual awareness. Scripture says, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Now when you and I think of an open heaven, oftentimes we consider that in the context of external ease, comfort, and goodness. However, in Ezekiel we find that open heavens are usually experienced during some type of external pressure or difficulty of life. It was the same way with the great apostle John. Revelation 1:9, I, John, who also am your brother. He's identifying, I'm no different than you, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, hallelujah, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I am fully confident today that the greatest openness to heaven, revelation, and the greatest seeing into the visions of God are to be had when we feel externally the pressures of certain captivity. Amen. Here is Ezekiel. He has all of the external difficulty of life. Here is John, all of the external difficulty of life. But then we go to Stephen in Acts, and the Bible says he saw the heavens opened. Amen. He didn't see the heavens open when all things were great around him. Well, come on somebody, when all things were just patty cake, right in the midst of hell, right in the midst of stones being hurled at his body. It was in that moment when all of hell said, you can't experience an open heaven Limerick City Church. But right in the middle of it all, he said, I saw God. Hallelujah. I want you to know, the modern religion may say to you, you've got to wait to a better day to see the heavens open. But I say to you right now, this day, let the heavens be open, let Christ be made real to your heart and to your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, when all hell is about us, trouble is about us, difficulty is about us, and hardship is about us, it is not, it is not, it is not, it is...
Yeah.
It is not the time to just hunker down, but rather it is time to be expectant. Amen. Most of the time we feel like, well, the conditions are right for revival, or conditions are right for seeing God. I can tell you today, God supersedes all of our man-made conditions. We say, God, it has to be full before revival can break loose. A preacher's got to be just perfectly anointed and articulate. I say to you today, even when I flibber around and fluff about, that's still the time to believe God can come down and open the heavens to your life. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. You see, Ezekiel, John, and Stephen did not allow their external conditions to define them, but rose above it in the Spirit of God and experienced a level of Christ that few ever have. Amen. It says the hand of the Lord was there. Somebody shout there. There upon Ezekiel. Where is there? There's at the river Shabar. There's difficulty. There's trouble. There's pain. There's hardship. But right there, the hand of God came down upon his life. Oh my. I can assure you, in the darkness of your night, the hand of God can still reach you there. Because his arm is not short. He cannot reach you. Hallelujah. You may be there today. Wherever there is. There's different for Paul. There's different for Saul. There's different for Ian. There's different for me. But wherever there is, God can still reach your life. Because God is the God of there. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
Glory. Yeah. One able commentary states, the arresting fact at the outset of our reading is that to a man in exile, and at a time when the national outlook was of the darkest, God granted these unveilings of himself in a mystic and marvelous imagery. Amen. Oh, that excites me, because in America, we're going quickly downhill. But right in the midst of all of it, I can be there and the heavens can open. I can get revelation of Christ and come on somebody. Hallelujah. Why do we become discouraged? Why do we get downcast when we read verses like this and we say to ourselves, even there at the river Shabar, where Babylon is all about us, God has no problem reaching his people with his eternal hand. That's the God that you serve. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. My God. You see, we find that it was in this experience that Ezekiel tells us what he saw. He says that he saw a whirlwind, a great cloud, a fire enfolding itself, and four living creatures. In these four living creatures, I would like us to look at for a moment. I believe that they speak volumes to us as believers and the church of God. The first thing that I would like to look at is that they were a product of the midst and the center of the glory and activities of God's heaven. Scripture says, also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. Amen. They wasn't dead creatures.
Yeah.
They were living creatures. Hallelujah. One able commentary states, this radiating brightness out of the whirlwind is an expression of the glory of God. Another says, these four remarkable beings were notable from within this whirlwind of God's presence. Another still says, these four living creatures came from the very center, the epicenter of the fiery cloud. In other words, these creatures came out out of and were a product of the midst and the center of the glory and the activities of heaven. They didn't come out of dead religion or dead human thought, but out of the glory and the activities of heaven. Amen. Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. He went on to say, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Matthew Henry said, these creatures derive their being and power from God. They are in themselves and to us what He pleased to make them. Their glory is a ray of God's glory. Hallelujah. I can assure you today that if you and I are going to make any impact upon the world in which we live, we cannot come out of dead services, dead Bible teaching, dead preaching, dead singing. We must come out of the midst of the glory of God. May it be said of every one of us, they don't come out of the fringes of the glory, come on now, but right smack dab in the middle of the glory. God's people come out of it. Hallelujah. When Ezekiel saw these creatures, he noted how they came out of the midst of the glory. One able commentary states, the church is a movement born in the fire. Pentecostals have often said, I was born in Pentecostal fire and religious smoke just won't do. Hallelujah. In other words, if you have been birthed of God, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, we must be people that come out of the midst of the glory. When they see us on the street, when they see us on our job, let them say, they don't come out of something dead, they come out of a living God, a living reality, a living Word. Hallelujah. That's what this world is looking for. Hallelujah. When Ezekiel saw him, he noted, and this world will also note, that we either come out of the middle of the glory or we do not. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can be around a preacher for a very short period of time and tell you where they're coming out of. They're more than happy to tell me how they've come out of this school or this Bible college or this, come on somebody, they come out of a lot of things. But my question to every preacher and every person on this planet is, do you come out of the glory? Do you come out of the presence of God? Do you come out of that with a boldness and a fire and a power that this world knows not of? We need people. We need saints. We need those around the world that'll once again come out of the glory as Moses did when he come down from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Secondly, in relation to these creatures, we find that they were joined one to another. Yeah. Hallelujah. Scripture says their wings were joined one to another. This conveys to us that these creatures were together. Yes, they were. They were in unity. They had all things in common. And they were in a divine fellowship. It was a unity of the Spirit. It wasn't a formulated unity, a called unity, a smashed together unity. It was a unity that came forth out of the presence of God. And I submit to you, that's the only unity that God recognizes. That's the only unity that will be validated by God, is that one that's formulated in the Spirit of God as God's people come out of the glory of God. One thing that I refuse to do is sort of smash together two things trying to make it unified when it's impossible to be so. His dear brother Will, he conveyed that to us in these messages. Amen. But you cannot. But these angels, they didn't have to force unity. They came out of the glory already together. Amen. And when we move forth out of this convention, we're not going to have to force unity. We're not going to have to make believe unity. But the Spirit of God takes it and puts it together. That's what God does. If you want unity in your church, just get the glory there. Just get the power there. Just get the presence there. And the unity will be a natural byproduct. Amen. Amen. I said it'll be a natural byproduct. Amen. One of the greatest testimonies of this reality is in Ezekiel's dry bones. He didn't have to be a spiritual archaeologist and go out into the fields and get bone and connect with the bone. He didn't have to go out there and say, I wonder if that's a chicken bone. I wonder if that's a donkey bone. I wonder... He simply preached the word of God. He was in the glory and he preached out of that and all of it just come together. I'm so thankful. I don't have the wits about me to define what belongs in the body. I would put a lot of people in, God wouldn't put. And I'd probably put a lot of people out, God would put in. It's beyond me to know. But one thing I do know is the word of God brings together God's people. Bones begin to rattle and bones begin to rattle as the word of God goes forth in power. And before long, you've got a toe bone connected to a foot bone and an elbow. Come on now. I said it all comes together by the word of God, for we beheld his glory. He is the word, and it's the glory of the word that brings it together in unity. The pulpit commentary states these creatures did not make use of their wings for fighting, as some birds do. There is no contest among the angels. God makes peace, perfect peace in his high places. But their wings were joined in token of their perfect unity and unanimity and the universal agreement there is among them. In other words, the creatures were not in competition. Let me say that again. They were not in competition. They were not in rivalry and they were not in strife. It says of the early church that they were in one accord, that they had all things in common, and that there was a certain equality among each and every one of them. I'm not trying to outdo you, and I pray you're not trying to outdo me. Hallelujah. We're in this together. Our wings are touching. Amen. My wings are touching Sister Melissa. My wings are touching Pastor Keith. We're in this together. I'm not trying to outdo him. He's not trying to outdo me. Sister Melissa's not trying to outdo either. The one of us, we're in unanimity, we're in unity. Why? Because our wings are a product of the glory of God. And I've had it up to here with minister conventions where wings are there and there and there and there, nobody touching anything. But if the ark teaches us anything, it's that when wings touch, God dwells amongst his people. Yeah. Hallelujah. We must forever come to realize that it is the will of God for God's people to have wings that are joined together. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing more beautiful. Nobody is disconnected or disassociated from the others. But thirdly, we find that the creatures moved straight forward. Hallelujah. Three times in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel highlights the fact that they move straight forward. Ezekiel 1:9. They turned not when they went. They went everyone. Somebody shout everyone.
Everyone.
Straight forward. Notice this. Ezekiel 1:12. And they went everyone straight forward. Ezekiel 10:22. They went everyone straight forward. This reality of these creatures, straightforwardness, is vital that we understand. It tells us that they did not deviate. They did not detour. They didn't shift. They didn't swerve. They didn't change. And they didn't divert from the plan, purpose, and mission of God. They didn't formulate what they thought should happen. They didn't say to themselves, well, that's a my belief. They did not say, well, that's of my opinion. They were angels, creatures that were governed by the word of God. You say, preacher, how in the world are we going to remain straightforward in a crooked age? Come on, somebody. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight, somebody Somebody shout, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You see, I believe we could say that they went straight forward because they looked straight forward. Oh, you listen to this, preacher. It says of Abraham that he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This tells us that the only way to go straight forward is to look straight forward. There's no way to move forward in the things of God. There's no way to move forward in the things of God if one eye's looking at all the things of Limerick and one eye's trying to look at all the things God. You've got to make up your mind. Choose today who you're going to look at. Am I going to behold God? Am I going to look to Jesus? Am I going to keep my eyes fixed upon the Lord? Matthew Henry said, these creatures sincerely aimed at the glory of God and had a single eye to that. In all they did, their going straight forward supposes that they looked straight forward and never had any sinister intentions in what they did. And if thus our eye be single, our whole body will be full of light. The singleness of the eye is the sincerity of the heart. These creatures were intent upon the service they were employed in and did it with a close application of mind. They went forward with their work. For what their hand found to do, they did it with all of their might and did not loiter in it. They were unanimous in that work. They went straight forward, everyone about his own work. They did not thwart or jostle with one another, did not stand in one another's light or in another's way. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor Robin? I'm trying to convey to you today the only way. Brother Clendenin used to say, a preacher, a businessman can be a preacher, but a preacher can't be a businessman. You can't have one eye there and one eye there and know your straightforwardness with God. You've got to determine in your heart, am I going to do the will of God or am I going to do the will of man? But you can't do both. You can't win Germany to God and try, come on somebody, and try to live out the American dream. Either you've got to live out God's dream or your dream, but you can't have them both. But if you'll serve God, He said, I'll give you that in this life as in the world to come. His dreams will become your dreams. His desire will become your desire. And you can walk straight forward with God.
Amen.
I've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of saints, a lot of preachers. One month they called to do this. Next month they called to do that. I could turn out in a yo-yo. Never knowing what they're called to do. One day they're evangelists. Next day they're pastor. The next day they're evangelists. Next day, maybe that's not over here. I face it all the time. I say, well, I can tell you why your ministry's not a straightforward ministry. You've got cross eyes. Amen. Can't even look at me in the eye because you're looking every other way. Come on, somebody. You see, I firmly believe that the reason the church can't go straight forward is because we have our eye on 1,000 different things. We have our calendars full with 1,000 different things. And our interests have been captivated by 1,000. Different things. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Amen. I can assure you where, you know, if you ever played sports, you know where them eyes are. That's where that ball's going.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Where you're looking, that's where you're going, Lot. No surprise to me, he ended up in Sodom. That's where he looked, friend. I said, that's where he beheld. He couldn't go straight forward like Abraham. The pulpit commentary states, service was a delight for these creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hear me. It would have been a restraint upon the impulses and energies of their nature, a very pain if no service had been allotted them. Hastening to execute the high behest of God, they go and return like a lightning flash. Personality was retained in its full integrity, but self was repressed. They moved spontaneously under the divine impetus. Self-will sweetly and identified itself with the will of God. The perfection of a child spirit is reached when we can say, I do always the things that please Him. No buy-ins, no sinister advantages are sought by these dutiful servants. Each one moves in a straightforward line. The shortest course is pursued to reach the divine end. Amen. I can assure you the quickest point to point A and point B is a straight line. And God would do so much more in our lives in ministry if we wouldn't always try to curve in. Amen. If we wouldn't try to get our eye over here. Many people say to me, I don't know why God is not doing this in the church. I don't know why God is not doing this through my life. Could it be your eyes are crossed and you're not going straight forward? You should have been there a long time ago, but you're not moving straight forward with God. You're moving every other way and wonder why it takes so long. I forget the days that it only should have took for them to get to Egypt, to Canaan. They should have went straight forward. But I can assure you, when you're thinking 1,000 other thoughts, John Gill said, they go not into the path of error or immorality. They do not become apostates from the truth. They are not of them that draw back unto perdition. They go on in the course of their ministry straightforward. Let what will be in their way, nothing diverts them from it. No devil. No difficulty. It notwithstanding all difficulties and discouragements in themselves, reproaches, afflictions, and persecutions for men, and the temptations of Satan. Amen. Oh my. Don't you make no mistake about it. They could have diverted like all of the fallen ones did. But they had that eye set for the things of God. Did the devil try to move them off that, divert them? Sure he did. Come on, the devil will do the same with you. If he can't get you through lust, he'll try to get you through discouragement or false doctrine or something else. But they knew as they came out of the midst of the glory, I'm putting one foot in front of the other. Matter of fact, it says that their feet were not crooked. Hallelujah. You can't walk straight with crooked feet. That's what it says in your Bible. Their feet were straight. Come on, somebody. I've been in this a long time. Long enough at least to know feet can become crooked in time. Yeah. Hands can become withered in the house of God. Did you hear me? I said feet can become crooked just as well. You see, I believe the early church was a straightforward people. Yeah. That's why they reached so many people for the glory of God in such a short time. They didn't pull any punches, withhold any truths, or mince their words to just suffice men. They went and spoke straightforward. I don't know about you, but I want somebody talking to me straightforward. Yes. Tell me the way it is. Don't beat around the bush. Don't curse. This is my soul you're dealing with, pal. I go to the doctor. If that doctor ain't straightforward with me, I'll find me another. And if that preacher ain't straightforward, I'll just mosey on down the trail and find one that'll tell me this book, whether Robin wants to hear it or not. I'm not much interested. I understand this old nature. His flesh will be dirt one day, but that spirit will reign and rule with Christ forever. I want you to know we need people that preach straight, talk straight, walk straight, sing straight, live straight, act straight. We need to be a people that are given to the straightforwardness of God Almighty.
Jesus.
And lastly, we find that this was all possible because they were led and governed by the Spirit of God. He said, preacher, how can a man live straightforward in a very crooked and perverse generation? No, John said, make your path straight. That's what he said. How? Repent. Look to the Lord. You want to live straight forward? Live a life of repentance.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Scripture says, wither. Wither. Somebody shout, wither.
Wither.
Oh, you got to shout it louder than that.
Yes.
Wither. The Spirit was to go. They discussed it in endless board meetings. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went.
Yeah.
Isn't that simple? And they turned not when they went. You see, this straightforwardness was not achieved or a product of their own ingenuity, their own willpower, their own considerations, or their own human concoctions. It was all simply the result of following the Holy Ghost of God. Their mind was not applied in the direction that they should go. All they knew is the Holy Ghost knows the way, and I'm going to stay in the Spirit, and I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be for God. You say, preacher, is it possible for us to live straightforward outside of the Holy Ghost? Shout with me a big no.
No.
No. No. Thank you, Andy. What are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to convey to you, these creatures had the spiritual understanding that they could not, even as being a spiritual being, do anything straightforward without being led by the Holy Ghost of God. How can we, as mortal human beings, ever think in ourselves we can live straightforward or be straightforward outside of the Holy Ghost? I'm fully aware of the fact today that in Robin, I'll live crooked. In Robin, I won't get it right. It's impossible for me to preach this word of God according to the mind of God outside of the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. I don't care. I've got degrees. I've graduated from 3 colleges, but that leaves me as the most foolish man on the earth outside of the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of God to lead me, to guide me, and to direct my path every day. Give him a hand clap of praise. You see, it was all simply the result of following the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. If it was a place on the street corner they really didn't want to go, they went. Come on, somebody. I wish I could tell you every place the Spirit was to go, you're going to like. That ain't always the case. Sometimes you're going to go simply because that's where the Holy Ghost is leading you to go. The pulpit commentary states, whithersoever the Spirit of God would have them go, thither they went. Though they had so much wisdom of their own, yet in all their motions and actions, they subjected themselves to the guidance and government of the divine will. Whithersoever the divine providence was to go, they went. To serve its purposes and to execute its orders, the Spirit of God is the great agent that sets angels to work, and it is their honor that they are led. They are lastly easily led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit didn't have to drag them.
Hallelujah.
Come on now. The Spirit just led them. Matthew 3:17 says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 4:1. This then was Jesus led up by the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Pastor Robin? I'm just trying to convey to you that these creatures were those that were led of the Spirit. And if you and I are going to fulfill the will of God, we must be led of the same Spirit.
Yes.
Isn't that right? One able commentary states, whithersoever the Spirit is to go, they went immediately. With all possible ability, those that walk after the Spirit do the will of God as the angels do it. They ran and returned. I love this. Like a flash of lightning. This intimates first that they had made haste. They were quick in their motions, as quick as lightning. Whatever business they went about, they dispatched it immediately in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. What are you saying? I'm saying these angels were so excited, so desirous, so full of the joy of the Lord. And as soon as they ran to do the will of God, they ran back to God into the midst of the glory to find out the next assignment. Hallelujah. That's how I want to live for God. I want to be as a flash of lightning. I want to go this way. I want to go that way. I want this world to say that preacher moves as a flash of lightning. His heart is so desirous to do the will of God. It's just boom, he does it. Boom, he's back. Hallelujah. All you hear is the thunder of a man obeying the direction of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. My God, that'll make you shout.
Lord Jesus.
You see, these creatures didn't get sidetracked, diverted, and nor did they turn aside. I was growing up, almost every time there's a message in tongues, it started out like, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. I've heard a lot of people make fun of that. But I can tell you, the Holy Ghost will say that every time. There's a lot of turning. And if it's of the Holy Ghost, I want Him to say, don't go to the right, don't go to the left, go straight forward. Hallelujah to God. And let that just be a validation. It's probably the Spirit. If it says go crooked, go to the right, to the left, you might just throw that over your shoulder. But if it says you keep going straight forward with God, you just throw those hands up. And if you don't receive anything else, receive that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You see, we also find that they did not grow weary with doing the will of God. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
They didn't grow dull in doing the will of God. And they didn't get tired in doing the will of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that in doing for God, if you're coming out of the midst of the glory, it never gets old. If you get out of the glory, doing what you do here is going to get old in about 6 months. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
Well, we're going to church, to prayer, 3 times a week. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you stop moving. Listen, either you're moving like a flash of lightning in the will of God. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. I can assure you here today that either you're doing the will of God or you're doing opposite of the will. But I can tell you, whatever you're doing a lot more quickly than you want to realize. Can you say amen?
Yes.
One able commentary states these creatures made haste back to God. They ran and returned, ran to do their work and execute their orders, and then returned to give an account of what they had done and receive new instructions that they might be always doing, abounding in the work of the Lord. They ran into the lower world to do what was to be done there. But when they had done it, they returned like flash of lightning to the upper world again, and to the vision of their God, which they could not with any patience be longer than their service did require. And I don't want to stay on this earth longer than God desires me to stay. I don't want to be like the king. God, give me extra years and only use them to backslide. Come on, somebody. I say to the Lord, Lord, if you see something down that road, you just take me out. Come on, somebody. I said, come on, somebody. Shouldn't we be more excited to return to church, the next assignment, and the next purpose of God, than the angels who look down upon us in bewilderment of what God is doing in our life? Hebrews 1:13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? What is he saying, Pastor? I'm just trying to convey to you today, surely we should obey with such excitement and joy as these creatures that came out of the midst of the glory. We dealt with today the midst of the glory. Straight feet, straight walking. Wings that touched. But in closing, Sister Candace, as you come, I want you to know something. The Bible says that their wings went upward. Isn't that right?
Yes.
They were heavenly in their disposition, but they were earthly in their ministry. The Bible says they had hands that came out from beneath their wings. I'm telling you, you and I are no good to this world if all we want to do is touch heaven without being willing to touch earth. Sometimes you've got to put your hands out, folks. You say, I'm too angelic. My wings are fluttering too high. Come on, somebody. Well, I've met a lot of them. They can't witness to somebody afraid they'll be polluted. They walk by people all the time with the sin of leprosy. Oh, I can't touch. I can't, that'll defile. I can assure you, if you're afraid to use those hands under those wings, come on, somebody. But they didn't just have hands. They also had wings. Did you hear me? They soared with God. They went with God. But they had the both. The people of God, the church of God, should have both wings and hands. Wings in our relationship with all that is eternal and divine. But never let us forget God's given us hands to be His feet on the earth, and His hands to the lost and the hurting. I can assure you, God only does what He's doing in your life today so you can reach somebody for the gospel. I learned a long time ago, if you don't give what God's freely given you, there'll come a time where you cannot receive. Amen. God, the Bible says the sin of gluttony. can tell you we have gluttons sitting on church chairs around the world. Oh, they're like a Mars Hill religion. Just give us some new thing, preacher. Oh, just fill my belly. You just see it. You can't even hardly, times pastor, put another spoon in their mouth. But I'm thankful that in this place and those that will watch these services, you're going to take what God says to you and you're going to use it to be hands for God in this earth. Would you stand around the building? Ask you tonight, this morning rather, could we be such believers? Could God get a hold of us in this convention in such a way? Could it be such people that would move straight forward, keep our eyes upon the Lord? As everything in this world, as Peter found out on the waves, things always trying to move your eyes away from Christ. If you're going to walk straight forward in this crooked generation, perverse, the Bible says, and you must keep your eyes upon the one who set it all into motion. He alone can keep us straight in a world that's crooked. Would you find a place to pray here this morning? God bless you as you come.